Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Jeffrey Pilgrim, commencing Chapter 3 of Office Wife.
Don't ask me why, but I feel darn uncomfortable. It's the eve of my wedding. Naturally, I've been thrown a binge by a dozen or so of my friends. All chaps, of course. I didn't ask Harry Palmer, but he's shown up here just the same, and not alone, if you please. He's with Stella Bronson, my new secretary. And I had to come over and say hello. The moment I stepped down with her, Palmer jumped up and said he wanted to see to his car. Hang the chap. I don't want to be left alone with this girl. She's too... too... well, you know what I mean.
What's the matter, Mr. Pilgrim? Do I terrify you or something?
Oh, not at all. I just happen to have about a dozen guests waiting for me.
I thought you were the guest who had a dozen hosts. From the noise they're making, I shouldn't think they'd mind your absence for 5 minutes.
I'm sorry, Miss Bronson. You must think I'm terribly rude. How do you think you'll like it at the office?
I'm sure I shall adore it.
Well, that's jolly good. I'm glad to hear it. Oh, here's Palmer back again.
I say, Jeff, you couldn't spare me a minute, could you?
Why, what's the matter? Excuse me, will you, Miss Bronson? Don't tell me your car actually has been pinched. Well, what is it?
I hate to ask you this, Jeff.
You hate to ask me what?
Well, my car's there, all right, but the tank's been milked absolutely dry. There's not a scrap of petrol in it.
Well, that's a rotten bad show, but it's not enough to get worked up about. You can get some more, can't you?
Down here on the bay at this hour of night?
No, I don't suppose you can. Oh, well, lock it up and get someone to fetch it in the morning.
Well, it's all very well for you to take this so calmly, but how the devil am I going to get Stella home?
Well, there are taxis, aren't there?
You know perfectly well you'll get a bar of bullion easier than a taxi down here. Do you think I'm such a confounded goat? Look, Stella's going in your general direction, and I thought you might drive her home when you go.
What? Now, look here.
Oh, Jeff, how can you refuse? You can't ask her to drive home with those chaps you've got with you. I mean, take a look for yourself. It only means a half-hour drive, and then she's off her hands.
Frankly, I'm thinking of Marcia. On the eve of my wedding.
Now, you don't mean to say Marcia is going to get any fruitling ideas when I'm here to explain all the time, do you?
No, I suppose not. All right, Harry. But I'm hanged if I like the notion. Look, why don't you come too? I can drop you off to Stella. That is, Miss Bronson.
And come back here in the morning to find my car towed away? Oh, no, not on your life. Now, be reasonable, Jeff.
All right, then. Who's going to tell her? You or me?
Well, I'm the goat. That's up to me, don't you think?
Yes. I suppose it is, really. Which way now, Miss Bronson?
Turn left at the next intersection and then carry on if I tell you.
Right. I must say you've had shocking luck tonight. First time you've been out to dinner here?
Yes. Harry Palmer was very decent. He said he wasn't in the mood to go home and read after the party this afternoon. And I felt something the same way. Silly of me, I expect. It's a thing I very seldom do.
No? What is?
Go to dinner with people from the office I work in.
I can't tell, can I?
Oh, but that's totally different. I mean, as a general principle.
No, I agree with you there. Oh, which way now?
Oh, I'm so sorry. It's the next corner here.
Yep. We just made it.
You drive very well. It's the next block of flats on the right. Yes, just here.
Oh, here we are then. Well, as I said, here we are. I'll try and give you a smoother drive next time.
Next time? Why? Is there going to be a next time?
No, what I meant to say was I'll know the corners and I won't nearly tip you out sort of thing. I mean, Palmer might be stuck or...
You've been very kind and I enjoyed it. I really have, Geoffrey.
Yes. Well, you have your key?
Yes, I have my key.
Is there, can I help you in any way?
What do you think? You have driven me home, haven't you?
You can turn your face down, Miss Bronson. Do you know, I think this might be as good a time as any for you and me to have an understanding. I don't know what sort of a woman you are, and I don't care. Just so long as you carry out your duties as my secretary efficiently and keep your private life to yourself. It so happens, Miss Bronson, that I'm very much in love with the woman I'm marrying tomorrow. And as time goes on, I expect to love her more and more. So if circumstances are such that I'm obliged to drive you home again out of courtesy, you'll know what to expect from me. And a good night kiss is not included. Do you understand me? Because if you don't, I'll require your resignation.
I understand you perfectly, Mr. Pilgrim. And you may be quite sure I won't make the same mistake again. Ever. Thank you for driving me home.
Not at all. Good night.
Tressida Bendigo and Company. Mr. Fleming, I'll put you on. Hello. You still there, Dulce? Now, where was I? What? Oh, yeah, about the wedding. Oh, they look so lovely, Dulce. And Marcia, she looked just like Ginger Rogers and the Bride Came COD. I'm telling you, may I be struck pigeon-toed, which I'm not, Dulce Touchwood. They were the best-looking pair that ever stepped into a shower of confetti, so help me. Who? Mr. Pilgrim? Oh, well, words failed me, Dulce. Something between Prince Philip of Edinburgh and Douglas Fairbanks, Jr. And they had all the bridesmaids and everything. Oh, when they stepped out of the church, Dulce, you just should have been there. I was that thrilled. Where are they now? Well, look, I've been telling you that for weeks, haven't I? They've gone off on one of those cruises. And wouldn't I like to be with them now? Oh, well... You can't have everything, as I said to Tom last night when he couldn't get the chewy.
Let me look at you, Mrs. Geoffrey Adrian Pilgrim, with your Titian hair blowing in the wind, green slacks to match your eyes. Oh, Marcia, darling, you really do look kind of fetching. Like a sex Fifth Avenue thing straight out of Vogue. Am I boring you?
No. I want to hear more, please.
No, that's about as lyrical as I can get. Happy?
Terribly happy. But last night, if you must know, I was just the tiniest bit jealous.
Jealous? Marcy, you don't be... What were you jealous about?
All those hateful friends of yours. I was afraid they'd make you drink too much so that I'd have to marry a man with bags under his eyes hanging down to his chin.
Oh, for a moment I thought that... Just for a minute.
What? Jeff, what's the matter with you?
Oh, nothing at all, darling.
Oh, well, you were dithering. Anyway, tell me all that's happened. Where did you go and who was there and what improper songs did you sing and who did you see?
Well... We went to a place on Fig Tree Street.
Oh, that awful neighborhood.
No, it's rather fun down near the bay when the occasion's right. It was perfect for last night, anyway. There was an enormous gaggle of chaps. Whiting, Taylor, Hardy, Kinnerton, all that gang, you know them.
Didn't you ask Harry Palmer?
Well, I was going to, but he made that idiotic remark at the firm's party just as we were leaving. Something about my new secretary. So I changed my mind at the last minute and left him out.
I can never make up my mind whether I like Harry Palmer or not. He can be very pleasant when he wants to, Jim.
No, he's all right, I suppose, but... You know, I felt a bit mean about leaving him out last night. He rather got under my skin. Don't know why.
So you didn't see him at all after we left the office?
Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, I did. He happened to be at the dive, too, quite independently of us.
That was odd, wasn't it?
Well, come to think of it, I suppose it was.
Well, anyway, darling, I don't want to hear another word about Harry Palmer while we're on this ship. We can ask him out to our place as often as we want to, if your conscience is troubling you. There's only one person you can't be friends with at the firm. You know who that is, don't you, Jim?
Who? Little Millie on the switchboard?
Oh, no, silly. That new secretary of yours. I don't care how appealing she is, or how late you make her work, or how hard or how fast you make her take letters. Don't ever let anything gossipy happen, will you? Be terribly careful, won't you, Jeff? You mean a great deal to me, darling.
Well, what do you think I'm going to do? Take her out to dinner every night while the little woman sits at home weeping quietly into her tank?
Beast. Darling, you remember the night when... when I started being something more to you than your secretary. We had to work late, and it was pouring with rain. And you very kindly asked, would you drive me home? And when we got home, I held up my face to be kissed. And you wouldn't, because you didn't think it was right. And I kissed you anyway. Do you remember?
Yes, I remember. Vividly.
It's little things like that that bring two people together. If it hadn't been raining that night, I don't think we'd ever be here now. We'd never have been married. Because, Jeff, darling, you don't like messing about with females at the office, do you?
Only you, sweetheart. Look, Marcia, my own personal female. Let's forget the office and Laura Bronson for 3 whole weeks, shall we?
Yes, darling. Let's both of us forget her.
It was on the tip of my tongue to tell Marcia about Stella and last night. But after what she just said, I couldn't possibly. Just so long as she doesn't find out. And only Harry Palmer knows. Only Harry Palmer.
We invite you to listen to further chapters of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.